Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We are a two-man car. Happy Thanksgiving to all. And Jesse, good morning.
Reporting for duty, sir, 10-8. Yep, two-man car, not a king car today.
Yeah, boy, it's raining cats and dogs over here in L.A., so I got my weather gear on, and we're not used to all this rain out here.
Well, but you guys need it, so we'll thank the Lord for that.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Hey, Ruben, let me just mention one thing about Thanksgiving as we launch into some of these topics that we have. For us as Catholics, I just want to remind people that the Eucharist is the ultimate Thanksgiving. And I mean that literally. I don't mean that figuratively, because that's what the word Eucharist means in Greek. It means to give thanks.
Yes.
And, you know, to all those millions of Catholics around the world, we're blessed. I'm not saying this triumphalistically. I'm just saying this biblically and just metaphysically and just this by God's grace, mm-hmm. is that we as Catholics can go to a church today and receive the ultimate Thanksgiving meal, which is called the Holy Eucharist. And many other faiths, they could just thank God verbally, you know, in prayer and in song. But we can actually thank God and show him how much we love him by receiving him in that, you know, in that once and for all sacrifice made present called the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So just want to remind all the Catholics out there that Eucharist literally means Thanksgiving. And so, every time you go to Holy Mass, remember that the center and worship of the Holy Mass is the Eucharist, which means Thanksgiving. We're not there for a liver quiver. We're not there to feel good. We're not there to get our ears tickled. We are there to unite ourselves with the God-man, Jesus Christ. And for that, we thank God for choosing us from before the foundations of the world to be Catholics. So just remember, Eucharist means Thanksgiving.
That's correct. I couldn't have said it any better, Jess. So, you know, let's get into this first article about a Native American by the name of Squanto.
Everybody's heard of him.
Yeah. And so not to be confused with Tonto from the Lone Ranger, right?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So
go ahead and share the... So Squanto, apparently, according to history, he was Catholic, and most people don't know that. They think that he was an indigenous Indian that was worshiping totem poles. Not so. What do we know about Squanto, Ruben?
Well, he's a forgotten hero, I'll tell you that much. I learned something in looking at today's topics. And so there's an article by Church Pop, and it's saying that most people know the basic history of the first Thanksgiving, and that was me. The pilgrims arrived at Plymouth Rock. The Native Americans helped them grow food, and they all gathered together in a feast of Thanksgiving. But what most tellings of the story leave out is the crucial role played by Squanto, the English-speaking Catholic Native American hero. They conveniently left that out in grade school when we studied this.
All through from K to 12, Ruben, they left that out.
Yeah.
I never heard this before, you know, up until a few years ago when I read this story. But, yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, wait, what? Was there an English-speaking Catholic Native American near Plymouth when the pilgrims landed? Here's the amazing story. In the early 17th century, Squanto's tribe came in contact with some of the earliest English colonists in the Americas. He was captured and taught English so he could serve as an interpreter. But in 1614... as he was being transported by John Smith, that's the adventure, the guy who was coming over here, John Smith of Pocahontas fame, one of Smith's lieutenants, Thomas Hunt, kidnapped him. Hunt took Squanto to Spain to sell him as a slave, but some Franciscan friars saw that what was happening, and they saved Squanto. And the Franciscans, back when they used to convert people, they taught Squanto the Catholic faith. I'm just kidding. I say that tongue-in-cheek. Franciscans taught Squanto the Catholic faith, and he was apparently baptized.
So they literally saved this pagan.
Yeah.
And I mean literally.
Go ahead.
The waters of baptism. Yeah. What else did the article say?
This is, you know, so he's a free man. Squanto wanted to return home. So he He went to London to try to get a place aboard a ship back to the Massachusetts colony. In the meantime, he worked as a shipbuilder and greatly improved his English. And in 1619, Squanto was finally able to return home on a ship led by John Smith. Ironically, tragically, upon arrival, he discovered that most of his tribe had died of a plague the year before. So it was almost as though God had prepared him perfectly for what happened next. Just a year later, in 1620, the Pilgrims arrived. They were English Calvinists who were seeking to build a new religious community apart from the Church of England. Little did they know that they would end up being saved by a Catholic. And for those who don't know, Calvinists were anti-Catholic. These people,
absolutely.
Yeah. They,
oh, yeah.
They, there's no love lost. You know, that's why they were fleeing England, to get away from who they thought was, you know, the Anglicans over there. They were too Catholic for them. So they not only did not like the Catholics, but they didn't like the way the Anglicans had liturgy and all that. So
right.
So the Pilgrims had little food and were unprepared for survival in the Americas. Squanto, who spoke great English and had a lot of experience with English culture, reached out to help teaching them how to grow food in the new landscape. It must have seemed like a miracle to the Pilgrims. And just so, I wonder if he spoke with that English accent. Is he learning his English from
I'm guessing he did, Ruben. Yeah. It would make sense that he did.
Probably true.
You know, you even see like blacks in Africa that were some of those countries used to be under the hands of Great Britain. When you hear a lot of these blacks speaking from Africa, they speak just like Brits, you know, like Englishmen. So it's funny to hear them.
Yeah. And you wonder, he probably drank some tea too, Jess.
Yeah, right.
So the Pilgrims had little food, were unprepared for survival in the Americas. Squanto, who spoke great English, I think I mentioned that. So unfortunately, less than 2 years after the landing of the Pilgrims, Squanto became sick and died suddenly. And the governor...
Oh, you missed one. Oh. You missed where he said, it says, Squanto befriended the Pilgrims, these are the Protestants, and became an important part of their community.
That's right.
At one point, Squanto was kidnapped by another tribe, and a team of pilgrims, these are the Protestants, saved him. Unfortunately, less than 2 years after the landing of the Pilgrims, Squanto became sick and died suddenly. Governor William Bradford, one of the Pilgrims' leaders, wrote this about him, quote, "Here, Mono Moyik Bay, Squanto fell ill of Indian fever. Bleeding much at the nose when the Indians take as a symptom of death, and within a few days, he died. He begged the governor to pray for him that he might go to the Englishman's God in heaven and bequeath several of his things to his English friends. As remembrances, his death was a great loss."
Mm-hmm.
So, so this Thanksgiving, say a prayer for the great hero Squanto. So most people don't know these Englishmen are talking about, you know, may Squanto go to the Englishman's God. Well, guess who the Englishman's God is? It's the Holy Trinity. Who taught the Englishman who the true God is? It was Squanto's religion, the Catholics. It was our religion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting, Ruben, that this important point of reference of history, Squanto, who had much to do with the first Thanksgiving and helping out the pilgrims here learn about how to cultivate the land. He happened to be a Catholic, and that's something that, again, was missed in my education from K to 12.
That's right. That's great. Unfortunately, he didn't have access to priests with those Puritans that came over. But, you know, we're praying that he died in a state of grace, and if nothing else, that, you know, he did a few. Sometimes.
And there's also another thing, Ruben, that we have to remember, that because God is so merciful, he beyond our stupidity or beyond our ignorance, or if a person, if a Catholic, let's just say, I mean, here's a crazy example, okay? Mm-hmm. You wipe out on a motorcycle, you're on the highway somewhere, you're dying, okay?
Yeah.
If you make a perfect act of contrition, notice what I said. I didn't say imperfect. Okay? There's a difference. If you make a perfect act of contrition, which means that if you repent and have contrition out of love of God, out of love, not out of fear of hell, out of love of God, you can be saved. The church says you can be saved. If you die making a perfect act of contrition, without the possibility of receiving the sacrament of confession and without the possibility of having a Catholic priest at your bedside, because, again, you wiped out in the desert of Arizona on a motorcycle and you hit the side of a mountain. Nobody's there. No priest is there. You can't get any of the sacraments and you're dying. If you make a perfect act of contrition out of sheer love for God and truly repent of your sins, you can and will be saved. That's what the church teaches.
Right. That's right. And, you know, as I think, as you mentioned, you know, it's very difficult for us to do it, you know, especially when we have, you know, frequent use of the sacraments here. We have access to priests everywhere, you know, any given day, any given weekend, you could go to any parish and receive confession. So we sometimes, we shouldn't, but sometimes we could take it for granted, you know, and that's a shame.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I always say that you show me a parish that has a frequent confession and or adoration, and I will show you a parish that's thriving.
That's right. No, that's true.
Yeah.
Ruben, we're going to be going on and we're going to be talking about six interesting Catholic Thanksgiving facts that people need to know. And again, I think one of the ones that we just shared right now was the fact that Squanto, this person that had everything to do with the first Thanksgiving, he was a Catholic. He wasn't a totem pole worshiper. No. But we got six other interesting things to tell you. So stay tuned with our Thanksgiving program, Two-Man Car, Jesus 911. We're 10-8.
That's right.
Don't change that dial.
And we're live.
Right.
This is Jesse Romero.
And I'm Terry Barber.
From the Terry and Jesse Show. And we invite you to listen to the Holy Hour of Power, High Energy Catholic Radio. We're two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. We're on Monday through Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
What we're going to give you is masculine Catholic teachings on the faith. You know, we say we're too inspired to be tired, we're too protected to be dejected, and we're too renewed to be subdued. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church. And we will take each issue of the day and show you how the Catholic Church has the answer for our culture. What we really do is bring men back into the Catholic Church, which it's about time to do. We want men to be leaders in their Catholic faith so that they can bring their family to heaven.
Our program is not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. And our program is where Catholicism and culture intersect. It's High Energy Catholic Radio.
We're going to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His bride, the Church.
The Terry and Jesse Show on the Virgin Most Powerful app.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're back, Jesus 911, on Thanksgiving Day.
Back live, too.
That's right. For most people thought we'd be sitting at home already, but no, we're here. We want to share this some Catholic facts for you because... If you're like me, you know, these are some things I never learned, I didn't know. And so hopefully we're inspiring you and we're teaching you something on Thanksgiving Day. So thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Okay, Ruben, well, let's hit it. Six interesting Catholic facts that everybody needs to know. Maybe you just share one and we'll just go back and forth.
Okay, yeah. The history books will tell you that the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Protestant pilgrims of Massachusetts in 1621. Not so. There was the Catholic Thanksgiving of 1565 in Florida and another Catholic Thanksgiving of 1589 in Texas.
Wow.
Yeah, so... please take a moment to watch. You can watch, Taylor Marshall has a video on this, so you can watch that. And the story behind the first Thanksgiving and
Taylor's video is called what, Ruben?
I think it's the same thing.
It's called Six Interesting Catholic Thanksgiving Facts by Taylor Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. So you can find that on YouTube.
Yep.
And, the first Thanksgiving was actually celebrated on September 8th, the feast of the birth of the Blessed Virgin. In 1565, in St. Augustine, Florida. So, you know, that's not a coincidence. Everybody, that's, you know, Our Lady had something to do with that. The Native Americans and Spanish settlers held a feast, and the Holy Mass was offered. This was 56 years before the Puritan pilgrims of Massachusetts. Don Pedro Menendez came ashore amid the sounding of trumpets, artillery salutes, and the firing of cannons to claim the land for King Philip II and Spain. The ship chaplain, Father Francisco Lopez de Mendoza Grajales, chanted the Te Deum and presented a crucifix that Menendez ceremoniously kissed. Then the 500 soldiers, 200 sailors, 100 families, and artisans, along with the Timucuan Indians, celebrated the holy sacrifice of the Mass in gratitude to God.
Wow, what a bit of history that's been omitted from the record books. But I'll tell you where I did learn this from, Ruben. I've been to Florida several times in the last 15 years to give conferences and to give missions. And the Floridian Catholics, the ones that practice their faith, they know about this tradition.
Mm.
They're the ones that told me like 15 years ago. Every time I go to Florida every year for a conference, you know, they'll tell me, Jess, by the way, did you know that? In Florida, St. Augustine, Florida is where the first Thanksgiving was celebrated way before the pilgrims. So I've heard this from Floridian Catholics, and they're proud of this. Mm. And then I also heard from Texas Catholics. They've also said, yeah, we were celebrating Thanksgiving in Texas before the pilgrims in Massachusetts, before they landed in Massachusetts. And so I have heard this from Floridian Catholics and Texan Catholics, and I did hear that it was also on September 8th. The Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So this wasn't new for me, but I'm glad that Taylor put this all together in a paragraph like he did.
Yeah.
And also another thing that I just want to mention, just a little Catholic fact, where Ruben, you shared where it said that the chaplain, Father Francisco Grajales, chanted the Te Deum and presented a crucifix that Menendez ceremoniously kissed. That's when they landed on the shores of St. Augustine, Florida. The Te Deum is a very powerful Catholic prayer. It's the one that goes, you probably heard it. It's called, You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. And it starts going about, talking about all the angels. To all the angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Let me mention something about that prayer, the Te Deum. In Latin, it's very beautiful, by the way. I have it on my iPhone in Latin, and I listen to it often. I just turn it on and play the Te Deum in Latin, once a day. The Te Deum traditionally is supposed to be used when a holy person dies.
Yep.
The tradition of the Catholic Church is they pray the Te Deum at their bedside. When my mom died I went to go visit her body, I prayed the Te Deum at her corpse, in the presence of her corpse. When my dad died, I did the same thing when he passed away and I went to go visit the corpse at my brother's house as the paramedics were coming. I prayed the Te Deum. So the tradition of the Catholic Church is to pray the Te Deum at the bedside of somebody holy who has passed away. That's the first thing. And also, the Te Deum is a very powerful prayer against demons because as you pray, as you read it, you can see that the Te Deum is the thanksgiving of all the nine choirs of angels as they're praising God. Now, when you pray that in the presence of somebody who's spiritually afflicted with a demon, they'll start manifesting very violently and negatively because the demon inside them, they don't like that song because the demons remember that they used to sing that song to God before they fell. And so there's a real pain, the pain of loss and the pain of sense as they realize, I used to be there, one of the nine choirs of angels, and I used to be praising God like that. And now I can't. And now forever I'm separated from God. And now forever I'm isolated away from the presence of God. I no longer have those words in my lips. And so that prayer causes a lot of pain to the demon inside of a person, because as you read the Te Deum, that's the praise of the nine choirs of angels before God. And that was a status that the fallen angels had once upon a time, and now they've lost it. So I just thought I'd give a little catechesis on that.
Hey, good. Good job. You want to go to the second?
Yeah, so second fact of Thanksgiving is the second American Thanksgiving happened on April 30th, 1598, when the Spanish explorer Don Juan de Oriate requested the friars to say a holy mass of Thanksgiving, after which he formally proclaimed La Toma, claiming the land north of the Rio Grande for the king of Spain. So the men feasted on duck, goose, and fish from the river, and the actors among them dressed and presented a play. All this took place 23 years before the Protestant pilgrims set sail from England on the Mayflower. Again, something that makes me very proud here is any time a Catholic would land here in the Americas, that we're seeing here the Catholics that land in Florida, the Catholics that landed in Texas, and the Catholics, even Hernando Cortes, that landed in Veracruz, Mexico. Every time a Catholic missionary would come over here and land in the New World, the first thing that they would do is they would plant a cross right on the beach and say a prayer of thanks, the Te Deum, before Almighty God. That's the Catholic thing to do.
That's right. Yeah. And so, this Don Juan de Oñate, he had to make a dangerous trek up through the Rio Grande, and he set up camp south of what's present day El Paso, Texas, and that's where this took place. And so, who's got a good article on this is Dr. Marion Horvath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first Thanksgivings were Catholic by Marion Horvath.
Wow.
Well,
maybe you could share some of that after we're done with these six.
Yeah, let's
go. If you have it there in front of you.
Sure.
Yeah. So what's point number three, Ruben?
The Puritan pilgrims were violently anti-Catholic. They left England because they thought that the Church of England was too Catholic. These Puritans were strict Calvinists. The pilgrims also opposed celebrating Christmas, dancing, musical instruments in church, and even hymns as papistical, like the papist, papistical. So that they're opposed to anyone following the Holy Father in Rome. And so it's interesting that Catholic anti-Catholicism was alive and well back then.
Yeah. Ruben, and can you imagine? I mean, the extreme position of these Puritans. As it says here, and I've read this before, and by other historical accounts, that they even opposed the celebration of Christmas. I mean, are you kidding me? If there's something that Catholics and Protestants agree on, is the biblical narrative of the birth of Christ and what that means to us, the incarnation of God becoming man, and the way that's the beginning of our salvation and redemption. But again, these Puritans, they were opposed to Christmas. It was only because the Catholics were already celebrating it for 1,500 years. Mm. It's not because they're against Christmas, because they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his incarnation. But it was just because the Catholics were celebrating it. So it was just a way of making hay against Catholics. And also they did oppose even musical instruments in the church. Now, I would agree with them in one sense. I think there are some instruments that aren't appropriate for the liturgy. So I would agree with them in a sense. But one of the things that these Protestant, the high church Protestants, they've taken from us is the pipe organ, which is the proper instrument to be played during worship. Even high church Protestants, you'll find their music, they use the pipe organ. You listen to Lutheran liturgies and Presbyterian liturgies, the high church ones.
Yeah,
you'll hear them using sacred music. It's beautiful, and you'll hear them doing chants and stuff as well. Now, what the Protestants, as of recent time, they've introduced into low church Protestant denominations, is what's called winged instruments, electric guitars, and all the other stuff of modern music. And I would agree with the Puritans in this sense, is that I believe that some of those winged instruments and drums are not appropriate for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. For a retreat, that's fine. For a conference, that's fine. You know, you want to just try to tug at somebody's emotions, but not for the once and for all sacrifice of Calvary made present at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. To me, that's not appropriate for that. So I would agree with the Puritans in that limited sense, Reuben.
And my priest would always say that you ought to be praying what you would have been praying 2,000 years ago at the foot of the cross if you were there, because we're made there, we're made present there. You know, it's brought to us actually in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So
yeah, you're right. That's a good way of putting it.
What would you be doing?
And we seem to forget that.
Yeah,
that's why there's a song during Lent. I don't know if the Protestants composed it or not, but the words are pretty powerful, where it goes, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?"
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to sing it because I don't want everybody to turn off the radio, okay? Because I'm not gifted with singing. But the song goes, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Mm-hmm. And the words of that song are actually very Catholic, because at every Mass, you're there. So when you hear those words, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Absolutely, you were there when you attend Holy Mass, especially at the high point, which is the words of consecration. Absolutely, were placed on Calvary's feet.
But he's not suffering anymore. He's not bleeding anymore.
Correct.
That's right. So,
yeah, it's an unbloody sacrifice.
Right.
Yep.
All right. That's the end of our second segment. We're going to come back. We're going to finish up with these 6 points that interesting Catholic Thanksgiving facts you need to know. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 on this Thanksgiving Day. We are a two-man car, 10-8. We're open for calls. And if you have any comments or questions, it's 888-526-2151. We'd love to hear from you. And we're talking about the six interesting Catholic Thanksgiving facts that you need to know. Dr. Taylor Marshall puts out he put out this article, and he also has a video on YouTube. You could take a listen. It's pretty good. So we're on point number four, Jess.
Go ahead, Ruben.
Okay. So while Thanksgiving may celebrate the Calvinist separatists who fled England, Catholics might remember the same unjust laws that granted the crown of martyrdom to Thomas More, John Fisher, Edmund Campion, etc., are the same injustices that led the pilgrims to Plymouth. So, yeah, these Calvinist separatists, you know, what Dr. Taylor Marshall says is that they eventually went on to become like Unitarian in their faith, in their beliefs.
You know? Yeah, Ruben, Protestantism, unfortunately, the barren fruits of Protestantism, when they broke off from the Catholic Church, not only did they fall right into the plans of the devil, the devil's plans are division, schism. And we see that in Galatians 5:19, where you see the list of mortal sins of the flesh. One of the sins of the flesh is division. The Protestants fell right into that. And now it's even gotten worse because Protestantism, because there's no magisterium, there's no perennial body of teaching, there's no teaching authority that they can appeal to. They all appeal to sola scriptura based on their interpretation. So as a result of that, Protestantism has now given us secular humanism, because the public schools in our country, they were all started by Protestants. It was a Protestant public school system. And in fact, when they started, everybody was mandated to have a King James Bible, and they read the King James Bible in all the Protestant schools in the United States of America. This is one of the reasons why we started the Catholic school system, the first Catholic school that was started in Baltimore, Maryland, which is where we get the name for the Baltimore Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because Catholic kids were being forced to read the Protestant Bible in public schools, which were run by a Protestant ethic and a Protestant worldview, and basically even a Protestant view of history. This is why the Catholics broke off and started our own parochial school system, because, again, we were being forced to accept Protestant history and to read the incomplete Protestant Bible, the King James Bible. And so as a result of the fact that Protestant now, again, has no consistent body of teaching throughout all the denominations, Protestantism is basically now giving way to secular humanism. The public schools now are seminaries of teaching secular humanism and moral relativism, because the Protestant denomination or the Protestant religious ethic has failed entirely.
Absolutely.
And this is why the public school systems are a mess.
Yep, that's right.
That was just my comment right there.
It's true. And I skipped over the...
Yeah, you skipped number four. So let me go to four,
go
Ruben.
Okay.
We kind of mentioned in the first segment, but I'll just I'll just say it again for people that are just tuning in. Point number four of the six Catholic Thanksgiving interesting facts that we need to know is that Squanto, the indigenous Indian, the beloved hero of Thanksgiving at Plymouth Rock, he was not a pagan. He was Catholic. And Squanto had been enslaved by the English, but he was freed by Spanish Franciscan friars, and he was evangelized and he thus received baptism at the hands of Catholics, and he became a Catholic. So he was he wanted to come back home over here to Massachusetts, and so it was Squanto, this baptized Catholic Native American. He was the one that orchestrated what became known as Thanksgiving, and he's the one that received the Protestant Puritans at Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts.
Yep.
Very interesting Catholic fact.
Very interesting.
Yep.
So that the last point that Dr. Taylor Marshall makes is that, and let everyone remember that Thanksgiving in Greek is Eucharistia. So I just mentioned this in the very beginning of the show, and we'll mention again, this: the body and the blood of Christ is the true Thanksgiving meal. We give thanks every time we participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we should be there in adoration and also to be giving thanks ourselves for all the blessings that he's bestowed upon us, to be in this one holy Catholic Church, to have access to the sacraments, to, you know, the priesthood and Holy Mother Church, the teachings of Holy Mother Church, to make sure that we're on the right path to sanctification, and you can't go wrong when you follow the perennial teachings of the Church.
Yep, that's right. And Ruben, just for the sake of the audience, because I kind of teased them about this prayer called the Te Deum, I'm just gonna pray the prayer, and it's a prayer which means to God, and it's a prayer of thanking God, and it's very beautiful. And again, this prayer is particularly effective over the diabolical. They can't stand this prayer because they used to pray this prayer and now they can't. And so it causes them pain to hear it.
Doing it in English or Latin?
Yeah, I'll do it in English, unless you got it in Latin in front of you. I'll do it in English first. If you want to find it in Latin, you can do it in Latin. But here's the English prayer. It says, "You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father, all creation worships you. To you all the angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father of majesty, unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide, you, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and obtained the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Amen." It's called the Te Deum. It means to God. It's a very famous prayer that should be prayed in the presence of a holy person that's just passed away. Ruben?
And there's the bottom part is, it's a back and forth. So the priest would say, "Save the people, O Lord, and bless thine inheritance." And the response would be, "Govern them and raise them up forever. Every day we thank thee," and the response, "and we praise thy name forever, yea, forever and ever. O Lord, deign to keep us from sin this day. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, for we have hoped in thee." And the response, "O Lord, in thee I have hoped. Let me never be put to shame." So, yeah, it's very beautiful. Also, in Latin, too. Maybe I'll read the first couple of lines. "Te Deum laudamus te Dominum confitemur te aeternum patrem omnis terra veneratur, tibi omnis angeli, tibi celi et universae potestates, tibi cherubim et seraphim incessabili voce proclamant, sanctus, sanctus, sanctus Dominus Deus Sabaoth, plenis sunt caelo et terra maestatis gloria tui. De gloria osas apostolium chorus." And anyway, so it goes on, and it's very beautiful.
It sure is.
So
Reuben, I want to share a little bit about what George Washington, the first president of this country, he was also a general in war. What he had to say about Thanksgiving, he said, this was October 3rd, 1789. This is a proclamation, a Thanksgiving proclamation in New York. He said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, which we have since enjoyed for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty, with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which God hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people. I've got about three sentences. We'll continue. I'll finish off with George Washington, famous proclamation of 1789 of Thanksgiving. Very biblical. Stay tuned.
All right.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back for our final segment. Jesse, you want to finish up where you left off? And then I wanted to mention something that Abraham Lincoln said.
George Washington gave the first Thanksgiving proclamation in New York City, October 3rd, 1789. He ends by saying these last three sentences. And everything he's saying is just taken right out of Scripture. He says about God, he says, "To render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue," he meant Christianity because he was a Protestant, "and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as God alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord." And what they meant by that, all the presidents, when they put the year of our Lord, Washington, Lincoln, they mean the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they're talking about, 1789. So even our official documents that govern this nation or acknowledge the birth of the Son of God. They call it the year of our Lord, 1789. Reuben, go ahead.
I just want to mention that Abraham Lincoln was the one who founded this Thanksgiving as the official holiday, and he made it so in 1863, and this was in the midst of the American Civil War, and he noted that the country's industry and population was still growing. In the document officially instituting Thanksgiving as a national holiday, he explicitly credited this to nothing else but God's grace, and he says, quote, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy," close quote. He then asked everyone in the country to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. That's right. Thanksgiving is meant to be a day of thanksgiving and praise to God. Lastly, he requested that everyone pray for God to heal the country's wounds, having particular concern for widows, orphans, mourners, or suffers from the Civil War. And you know, just going back to the second Thanksgiving, I should say, the one in Texas, Dr. Marion Horvath puts something, makes something really, it's pretty powerful what she says here. And Don Oñate, you know, he kept, notes on his voyage, and he marched under a personal standard of white silk stamped on one side with pictures of Our Lady and St. John the Baptist. Oñate's patron saint on the reverse side was St. James on horseback carrying a sword. But this is what's important, is the Spanish monarchy made the defense and propagation of the Catholic faith the supreme aim of the state. In the instructions given to Oñate, the crown clearly stated the primary goal of the expedition was to initiate conversion of the many large settlements of heathen Indians who live in ignorance of God and our holy Catholic faith, so that they might have an orderly and decent Christian life. It's what's interesting is it says certainly the aims, spirit, attitudes, and religion of the Spanish explorers could not have been more different from those of the Puritans over at Jamestown, who, motivated by self-interest, landed at Plymouth Rock to make a small, comfortable life for themselves and their families. With no thought of the spiritual welfare of the Indians, no dreams of heroism, glory, or fame, This clear difference in spirit and mentality makes the colonial Catholic Spaniards a better model for Americans than the Puritans.
Wow. Wow, that's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Ruben, something very interesting also. So now we know this great day that we have here in the United States of Thanksgiving. Now we know definitively it comes from the Catholic Church. Thanksgiving, again, it was already being celebrated in Florida and in Texas before the Protestants came. And even when the Protestants came, they were received by an Indian who was Catholic, who celebrated the first Thanksgiving with them in Massachusetts. So Thanksgiving is really a Catholic. It was issued by, or it was brought by Catholics here in this country. Because again, it was already celebrated on two occasions before the Protestants came over to Plymouth Rock. And again, Squanto was a Catholic, and he's the one that celebrated the first Thanksgiving dinner with the Puritans, which makes me very proud, because everything about the United States that we celebrate, all the days that are joyful and celebratory, they're Catholic. Well, first of all, now we know about the history of Thanksgiving, that it comes from Catholicism. Number two, think about Christmas. Who celebrated Christmas before anybody else? It was the Catholics. Why? Because we were there. What about Easter? Who gave us the Easter celebration around the world? It was us, the Catholics. Why? Because we were there, and we're the ones that assigned the date to Easter. Even Valentine's Day, that everybody, even non-believers and atheists, celebrate Valentine's Day. Who's Valentine's Day? He was a Catholic priest that was killed in Rome back in the second century for promoting the holy matrimony. Yeah. So, you know, Father Valentine, pray for us. So anybody who celebrates Valentine's Day, that comes from the Catholic Church.
And Halloween was stolen from the Catholic Church, right? We talked about that a month ago.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, every celebration in the United States that brings family together and brings fellowship and love and celebration, it comes from Catholics. Everything.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try what Taylor mentioned in his video, that just a little game and go around the room and everybody give thanks. Doing the alphabet, you know, so start with A and then you give thanks something with an A, and then you go to the B. And, you know, the kids will love it. I know.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have a big celebration today later. And so
that's a great idea.
I'm going to try that. And there's a prayer that he puts in his article on this, the 6 points that we were just mentioning. And I hadn't heard it in a long time. And it's someone, Hilaire Belloc, you know, one of the great writers of our time, man. And
he's one of the great historians.
Yes.
20th century.
I think I've got most of his books. Wherever the Catholic sun doth shine, there's always laughter and good red wine. At least I've always found it so. Benedicamus Domino. So that's from Hilaire Belloc, man. I like that.
Also, something else, Ruben. On another day, I'll make sure I get all the information, because it's in a book I have. Most people don't know that George Washington, the very first president of our country, he was visited by the Blessed Virgin Mary. He was a recipient of a Marian apparition. And there's a book, I have it in my shelf. I don't, you know, obviously I just can't get out there and grab it right now during the radio show. But we'll do it but one of the things that George Washington did, he was so moved by this. When he saw Mary, he actually wrote it down. He said that he described Mary as a woman of singular beauty. And Mary talked to him. And she called him Son of the Republic, Look and Learn. And she told him about the way America was near and dear to her Immaculate Heart. And George Washington was so moved by this Marian apparition, he wrote it down. And the letters of his seeing the Blessed Virgin Mary are right now sealed in a box in the Library of Congress, and they have a number assigned to it. So we'll prepare another show for it, because again, the Blessed Virgin Mary there said about the importance of this country, that America is near to her Immaculate Heart, and she also, our Heavenly Mother, also was glad to obtain her son's blessings and protection for this country. If only enough of us would humbly beseech her for this grace. So I would just say this, if George Washington, and again, I say if, because I don't, you know, only God knows the what's factual from opinion. If he's in heaven right now, he's in heaven because of the Blessed Virgin Mary's intercession for him.
Yeah, that's right. The Queen of the Americas, Our Lady, is, and she, so she, this country was, has become the watchdog of the entire world, you know.
By default, Ruben, yeah, you're right.
By the most prosperous country, and so we have a lot to be thankful for. I think in the last minute here, I want to give Psalm 136.
Oh, yeah.
Read that, okay.
Absolutely. End it with that.
Okay. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen.
Yep. Also, one last thing I just want to mention about this country, America. We have a lot to be thankful for being here. We can imagine we could have been born, Ruben, in communist China, Saudi Arabia. I mean, Nigeria. I mean, I can think of a lot, you know, Cuba. I can think of a lot of countries right now. I mean, you know, I would have made do with what God allowed to happen if I was born in those countries, but I wasn't. I was born in this country where we have freedom of liberty, freedom of speech. Let's use it, and let's use it to advance the Catholic gospel. Let's use it to save souls and to slay error. And let's thank God every single day that we aren't under communist tyranny or Islamic tyranny. And we have to fight, especially in 2020, these upcoming elections, Ruben. We've got to vote to make sure. And again, I'll just be honest. I'm going to vote for Trump and Pence. We got to make sure that we vote for the pro-life party and the ticket that's going to continue promoting religious liberty and religious freedom in the United States of America.
That's right. And don't, what I used to preach to my trainees, never become complacent. You can be complacent and slothful in your faith, and it's unsafe to do, just like in police work. You can't be out there. You have to have your head on a swivel, because we're in that. You got to be able to recognize what's Catholic, what's not Catholic, and form your moral conscience. And study your faith and learn it so that you can pass it on, you know, especially to your family, to your loved ones.
That's right. Here's another little Catholic history as we're closing up the show. Columbus discovered America in 1492, and he called America the New Jerusalem.
Mm.
Catholic, by the way, Holy Mass was being celebrated every day on the ships as they were coming from Spain over to the Americas. And Columbus landed in the Bahama Islands, got on his knees and put the cross of Christ on the seashore, on the beach, and claimed the Americas for Jesus Christ.
Amen. We preach Christ crucified, Jesse.
Amen. Ruben, have a happy Thanksgiving. All you guys, everybody listening, have a happy, holy, blessed Thanksgiving.
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving to all. And we'll be praying for you. You pray for us. Stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics. Keep the faith.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.